Welcome to another episode of the Year-Long Yarn, an intentional interim podcast here at Church at the Gabba. We have been going through a journey of discerning the heart and the will of God for our church as we walk through a season of change from our previous senior minister who was here for 20 years and kind of walking through a transition of honoring him and looking into the future of where is God calling us, where is he leading us, but where is he already working and how can we join him in what God is doing. As a part of that, we've had Dave Luthy from another pastor from within Queensland Baptist come and join us for just a year and a bit to really help us walk through change together. And it's been a lovely season.
So it's been a lot of fun.
As we come to this time together, we just want to encourage you to see the Lord and what he is doing, see and hear from who God is, and join us as we seek to hear from God together. All right, Dave. So it's been a while since we've had our last podcast. Some missed recordings, some things that have kind
of
happened.
Had one go of this already, but it didn't come through.
I had a baby.
You did.
It's been a pretty busy last 6 months.
You've only had one baby?
Yep, just the one. Yep. Well, I didn't. My wife did. but as we kind of look back on, I can't believe it's been 6 months.
Yeah.
Even more than that, since you started. It's been quite a season of hearing and discerning in that time.
Yeah.
Maybe just give me a quick update on how have you found the church and the life of the church to be? Like, who have you really identified our church as? And how is being an intentional interim been a key part of that?
Yeah, well, I would say Church at the Gabba is very unique in many different ways. I still would say it is the church with more potential than I've ever seen when it comes to any church. Lots of reasons for that. There's over 20,000 cars that go past on Stanley Street every single day. There are, after the Olympics in 2032... going to be 16,000 new residences going up just opposite the church. We have a wonderful community center called the Mustard Seed. And just a whole heap of opportunities as a church to be able to reach out into our local community. I've really enjoyed getting to understand the unity in the church. And unity is a beautiful thing despite having huge amounts of diversity. I've often said that when I was first interviewed for the church council mentioned they were a very diverse, that this is a very diverse church. And I said, in what way? And they replied, oh, it's diverse socioeconomically and through different age groups and through different cultures. And I just thought in the back of my head, there's no way a church can be diverse in all of those ways. But this church truly is diverse in all of those ways, which is actually a real joy because that's a picture of what heaven is going to be like. All people and tribes and tongues gathering together to worship Jesus together. And I just see this church as a real picture of what that's supposed to look like. So there's a lot of potential for this church, a lot of great things already happening, but also a lot of great things in store, I believe, for the future of the church. And I've really enjoyed getting to know the people here. There's a real sense of humility and health in the life of the church, which is wonderful. Yeah.
And so with kind of in these last 6 months, in how has being an intentional interim pastor been different than maybe just being a pastor? What has been different in those 6 months in that process?
One of the great ways I heard intentional interim ministry being explained is that I'm 50% a pastor and 50% a consultant. And I think that's very, very accurate. So I'm still doing things like preaching and pastoral care and leadership and all those different sort of things that I need to do just in general pastoral ministry. But I'm also bringing a certain level of experience and understanding and learning of my own from the past to be able to bring and be able to help the church move forward. And I think that's been particularly helpful when it comes to re-envisioning and renewing the heart of the church. The church is at a really important and crucial time right now. And the needs of this church are unique compared to other churches of the same size. But I really do believe that God's been able to work through not just myself, but I think other leaders and the whole church throughout this time to move us forward together. Yeah,
I want to spend just a moment reflecting on, this was a while ago now, we kind of started the year with talking about what's next for the church, what does it mean to look forward into what's next. We spent time being still to hear from the Lord, and then we went into a season of prayer and fasting as a church. I remember hearing some of the people in the church saying, this was actually the first time I'd ever fasted in a church context.
Wow.
And others saying this was one of the first times in a long time for others. And so it really brought the church in together, like you're saying, and a lot of that unity around how do we hear from God together? How do we discern the voice of God together? And in the middle of those 21 days of prayer and fasting, there was a lot of just, we just want to hear from the Lord. We want to hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
And there started to kind of be some similar themes that started to come through different people without them realizing it. They would share something with me or with you, and we would start to see this person said that and this person said that. And that's what we were reading in our own devotional times and coming across similar themes and needs. Can you maybe just share on some of that?
Yeah, I'd love to. One of the key things that was that came out of that 21 days of prayer and fasting was that we had a board that was done up, and on that there was a drawing made of a lighthouse, and some of the words put under that were to the language of that. We believe our church should be a beacon to the community around us, that we should be a light shining out to people around us. And all of this resonates really heavily with what Jesus speaks about in Matthew on in the Sermon on the Mount, where he speaks about being a light to the world being a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And one of the things that I think has become a pretty common theme in discussions I've had with people has been that although we desire to be a shining light and a city on a hill, one of the big problems that we face at the moment is that we are in a community that doesn't even know that we exist.
Yeah.
And if we are going to live out what Jesus says throughout the Sermon on the Mount of shining our light to our community around us, then we really need to think about what does it look like to be known in not just the community around us, but wider than that as well. So each of us has specific areas of influence that we can minister in, which is different from me, is different from you, and every single one of us is able to shine the light of Jesus wherever we are.
Yeah,
that's been the big theme that's come through this throughout this time.
And I think similar in that people kind of almost had the sense that we are kind of like that parable of a lamp under a basket.
Yes.
At the moment.
Yep.
That we have the light of Jesus, but it's not seen.
Yep.
I mean, even in our community center, 95% of the people in our community center don't come to our church.
Yeah.
Which also shows the reverse of that, of only 5% of people that go to the Mustard Seed come from our church.
Yeah.
And so there's some disconnects between those.
Yeah.
So we're in trying to be the light of Jesus in some of these places. There's things that we can be doing to change some of that. In one of the prayer walks that we had in that 21 days of prayer and fasting, it was actually on the night of the lunar eclipse.
That's right, yeah.
And I remember just talking with some people afterwards and people kind of reflecting and going, this is so similar to what we're like as a church.
And yeah, wow.
We're meant to reflect Jesus, but we've been blocked, not intentionally, but just the way that things have happened over time, and someday we'll do something mentalities, has really resulted in just our light growing dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until it was covered up.
Wow.
And so that's really stuck with me in that moment of, as we're praying for our community, praying for the apartments, praying for the school across the road, that there was just that very visual image.
Yeah.
We definitely didn't plan that. I didn't even realize it was a lunar eclipse. I remember going, what's going on with the moon? And so I was like, it's a lunar eclipse. I was like, oh, right. Clearly, I'm not a scientist.
But it really does sadden me when I speak to people who I know, who live on the south side of Brisbane and pass by here every single day, and they will say to me, oh, I didn't even know this church existed.
Yeah.
That's something that is just really sad, because there's a lot of really good things happening here. There's a really healthy culture in the church. We just need to, as I said, and as well, Jesus said it first, is shine our light.
Yeah, and you are the light of the world.
That's right.
What is it? I think sometimes when talking through being in the light of the world, it can be a very Christianese kind of terminology.
100%.
So words that we can use in Christian contexts. But then when said to people who aren't from Christian backgrounds, it sounds a little bit weird.
Like 100%.
People don't shine.
Yeah.
Talking through that disconnect, how can we be a light to our community and shine in this community in ways that meet people of this community and where their understandings are?
Yeah. Well, I think part of that is what we've discussed even more recently in things like our members meeting and other things, which is we have an amazing ministry called the Mustard Seed, which is run by Anna, and it's just a wonderful opportunity that we have, where we have people coming through every single day of the week who are able to experience Jesus in really practical ways. And if we're able to not leave that as a separate thing to the church, but incorporate it into the life of the church even more, that's just something that could be very effective for us as a church doing ministry in Woolloongabba. But even more than that, we're not just called to rely on church ministries and things and programs to be able to lead people towards Jesus. I still remember one of the best examples I could give of what it means to shine the light of Jesus is there was a guy I knew, and after church we would go to McDonald's in Cleveland on the south side of Brisbane, and as we were ordering our food, the person who was standing there taking the order said, "Oh, I really like your watch." And this young guy, who was wearing a $200 watch. He said, oh, would you like to have it? Would you like this watch? And the person who was serving them said, no, I can't do that. There's no way I could ever take your watch off you. That's crazy. What are you talking about? And this guy was very insistent. He just kept saying, no, you like this watch. I would like to give it to you. And that opened up this amazing opportunity to be able to share for over half an hour the good news of Jesus with this person who was working at McDonald's. That was normative in the early church, and I think that could become normative, which means normal, in the church today. That doesn't need to be something that's strange. We can be that's what it means to live the light of Jesus wherever you are.
Because I think sometimes we limit our understanding of shining the light of Jesus means to get involved serving at church, which means serving at a church for an hour and a half on a Sunday. When you start to live in that's what ministry is, the Sunday service, you miss all of the rest of your life.
100%.
The everything at your work, your commutes, to your extracurricular activities, those are now all things separate from my life with Jesus.
Yeah.
But when I'm a light for Jesus, wherever I am, where I'm at my work, where I'm at my play, where I'm at my commute, where I'm at my family time, all of those areas, when I'm with Jesus in those moments, that's when people are starting to go, how could you ever do that? That doesn't make sense.
100%.
And that's grace.
Yep.
That's to live in grace really with each other. And so I think as we walk through a season of discerning God's grace, discerning God's will and how he's working in people's lives already, it's a really interesting area that we're living in. You have people that are really well off financially,
yep,
that can afford to live in Woolloongabba. And then you also at the same time have people that have been living here for a really long time,
yep,
that are on the lower economic side of things, or there's places of Brisbane housing and stuff like that, that you have this really big mix of people who can't afford to pay rent that are needing help, to then people who are kind of walking past all of these needs on a daily basis. How do we bring both of those spectrums of people together to join on mission, to join on what it means to shine the light of Jesus?
Well, I think there's a couple of parts to that I've already mentioned. There's the work that we do together, and then the work that we do individually in our own spheres of influence. So one of the things that I think about having a diverse church that's really beautiful is there are people who are able to be reached, who I could never reach myself, no matter what I tried to do. So when I say that, there's lots of different... How many different languages are there?
15
different languages.
In a church of like 70.
100%, yeah. Represented in this church. And so there's a lot of people I couldn't even communicate with through different spheres of influence here in the life of the church.
I'm just going to interrupt you real quick on a quick story of that.
Yeah.
Beautiful moment of... We had a gal named Zoe from France who was on an exchange program here. And she's now living back in France. And her last Sunday, she said this was the first time she's ever felt like church was family.
Yeah, wow.
And she went back to France, and now just 2 weeks ago, a guy came, and he was from France. I was like, oh, wow, I know someone from France. They're Zoe. And he went, she's my friend. She told me about your church.
Wow.
I've just moved to Australia, and she said this was one of her favorite places of being here. I could never have reached that guy.
100%.
There's no way I could have known him, interacted with him in some other sphere to get him to come to be a part of our church family. But that's what happens when people are encounter Jesus to then live with Jesus.
Yeah.
So as we navigate what it means to be in ministry and to walk through change and walk through what God is doing, there's a great book called In the Name of Jesus by Henry Nouwen. And it's a very short book. It's like an A5 sheet of paper, and it only has less than 100 pages.
Everyone should get it, though.
Everyone should get it. It's a great, quick read. But it's one of those books that often in ministry I will come back and reread and then reread again. Mm. And it really focuses on three main subjects. It has from relevance to prayer, then from popularity to ministry, and then from leading to being led. And so I just wanted to have us maybe touch a few moments on each of these, because as we walk through change, the last thing we want to do is to go, we're walking through this change so we become more relevant, or we're walking through this change so we grow in numbers and popularity in our area, or we're going to have a new senior minister that's going to lead us in all of these things. We want Dave just to lead us and do all of this stuff. No, we want to be a church of prayer.
100%.
We want to be a church of ministry.
Yes.
And we want to be a church that's spirit-led, that's not led by our own ideas and purposes. So maybe if you could just share how you've kind of seen that in this process.
Well, let's go through them one by one. Remind me of that
first one. First one is from relevance to prayer.
From relevance to prayer.
And kind of that temptation to be relevant over the practicality of living in prayer.
Yep. And through that, I might even speak to just even some more recent church history. So throughout the 90s, there was something called the Church Growth Movement. Throughout the 80s and 90s, something called the Church Growth Movement, where people really were seeking to be relevant. And the primary purpose for that was because they wanted to be able to reach people. And there was something called the Seeker-Sensitive Movement, which came out of that. There came to a point in the early 2000s where people realized that that's actually not working very well. And so something called the Emergent Movement came out of that. And that had certain pros and a lot of cons that came out of that, where people began deconstructing not just their understanding of church, but also their understanding of the gospel and faith, and what Christian orthodoxy really is. And so all of this seemed to be in response to what you're talking about, which is becoming more and more relevant to the society around us. Mm. What we actually see today, particularly when it comes to the younger generation, is that they're not seeking relevance. What they're seeking is the presence of God and some experience of spirituality, if I can just use it that broadly. And so there are actually a lot of young people who are being drawn more and more towards certain older traditions of the Christian faith, because they're able to see, hang on, there is something here that's very, very different, that's not based around just trying to please me or make me feel good in any way. Our world is already trying to do that in 1,000 different ways. And so really, that is a move away from relevance. I would say trying to reach people solely on the basis of relevance. There's relevance that's healthy and good. We don't want to be disconnected from the community and the people around us and the culture. But ultimately, we're here to seek God together, which is what prayer is all about.
In that section, Henry Nouwen puts it like this in speaking about the core of prayer is essentially recognizing who God is and the heart of God,
yep,
and knowing God. It's not, prayer isn't just this request I give to God. Here's my laundry list or my shopping list that I need God to answer. But prayer is actually a process of knowing and being known. And so he says, God loves us not because of what we do or accomplish, but because God has created and redeemed us in love and chosen us to proclaim that love as the true source of all human life.
Yeah.
So that kind of that connection of the importance of prayers, this isn't just something that we do spiritually with God, but it's actually something that motivates us into practical action of love unto one another.
Yeah. And the thing I love about the way that he expresses that is often in church world, we can speak about prayer as it's just talking to God, which is missing huge amounts of the point of what prayer actually is. Prayer is, that's part of what prayer is. It's also listening to God and simply being with him and enjoying his presence as his children.
Yeah, he asked this question when looking at kind of Jesus in his response to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And Peter responds, Lord, you know that I love you. But each of those times in which Peter responds, Lord, you know that I love you, he uses a brotherly love when Jesus is asking unconditional agape love.
Yeah.
And each time Peter says, Lord, you know I love you like a brother. And then last, Jesus says, do you really love me like a brother? And after that, it says Peter is disheartened. And it gets to this heart behind, what does it mean to be in relationship with God?
Mm.
And so Henry Nouwen asks these questions. He says, the question is not how many people take you seriously or how much are you going to accomplish in ministry? Can you show me some results of where you've gone and what you've done? But are you in love with Jesus?
Yeah.
And perhaps another way of putting the question would be, do you know the incarnate God? Mm. In our world of loneliness and despair, there's an enormous need for men and women who know the heart of God, a heart that forgives, cares, reaches out, and wants to heal. In that heart, there is no suspicion, no vindictiveness, no resentment, not a tinge of hatred. It is a heart that only wants to give love and receive love in response.
Yeah.
It is a heart that suffers immensely because it sees the magnitude of human pain and the great resistance to trusting the heart of God who wants to offer consolation and hope. He then continues and says, the Christian leader of the future is the one who truly knows the heart of God.
And for me, I think one of the weaknesses of the church over the past 30 or so years has been that we have incorporated certain worldly principles, some which are actually derived from the Bible. So when it comes to things like mission and vision and values, I'm all in favor for. But when it comes to certain things like KPIs, which is key performance indicators, that's actually not a helpful thing for us to be thinking about as followers of Jesus and leaders within the church. We are not here to perform in any way for Jesus. We are already accepted and loved because of what he has done for us through his life, death, and resurrection. And performance in the kingdom of God is always backwards from what it looks like in the world around us.
Yeah. Mm. Which that really brings us into that from popularity to ministry.
Mm.
In that the reality of living in ministry is that we can have the temptation to, as Henry Nouwen puts it, to be spectacular. But it's not that we don't want to do things well, but the reality of ministry is that there's a lot of unseen things.
Yep.
And I think a lot of what you've done in this last 6 months has been a lot of unseen ministry.
Yep.
It's been a lot of getting to know the church. So maybe in these last 6 months, how has the interim process for our church and with you helping us lead in that been a sense of maybe unseen ministry that we can share?
Oh, so much of my role here has simply been having conversations with people. and just understanding the heart of the church. I really needed to understand where the church has been. This church has a rich history of over 150 years. Some seasons have been better than others. And the church has, at times, come close to closure. But there's also been times of renewal and refinement. And so it's been really important for me to hear the stories of this church. As I've said, this is very unique, this church, compared to many, many others. We are a smaller church compared to many others. We would be classed as a small church numerically, but then there's a lot of ways in which we have to operate as a larger church due to the resources that we have. And so every church is unique, but I would say this church is particularly unique, which means that we need to have an extra amount of conversations to be able to think about how can we move forward. How can we move forward together? When it comes to that idea of popularity as well, one of the things I have reflected on a lot over the past 12 to 18 months is that there seems to be something happening within the kingdom of God, which is the death of the celebrity pastor, which is something that probably makes many of us sad, but is probably a really good thing as well. There are a lot of celebrity pastors, I'll use that in inverted commas, who have fallen in some way in ministry, and that's because they haven't been able to remain accountable, or they've been left to their own devices. I don't want to put all the blame on those people who have fallen. There's always two sides of those stories. But it is one of those things, I think, where we're having our eyes turned less and less towards people and desiring these popular pastors and desiring... I think God, the Spirit of God, is leading us more towards having our eyes drawn from people back to Himself as our Father.
Which is kind of that last point of... from leading to being led.
Yeah.
Henry Nouwen says in like this, he says, it seems easier to be God than to love God, easier to control people than to love people, easier to own life than to really love life.
Mm.
He says, one thing is clear to me, the temptation of power is greatest when intimacy is a threat. Much Christian leadership is exercised by people who do not know how to develop healthy, intimate relationships, and have opted for power and control instead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Many Christian empire builders have been people unable to give and receive love.
Yeah.
I think when we look at the heart of the kingdom, I love Jesus's terminology, is that it's a kingdom, not an empire.
100%.
It's even though it's ruled by God, it's not something that is bound for conquest.
Yeah.
It's something that is, no, this is already here.
Mm.
This is what you can live in. This is what it means to live in this kingdom of God with other Christians. We're not in, this is the good church here and that's the good church there. But recognizing that what it means to be led by the Lord, instead of I'm just going to lead this church, is recognizing, guess what? God's not only working in this church.
100%.
He's working in the Lutheran church across the road.
Yep.
He's working in the Anglican church down the road.
Yep.
He's working in the ACC church down the road.
Yep.
And what more could I ask than to say, God, work more in those places?
100%. Yeah.
Because when I start to see that God isn't confined by our church, but that he's working in his kingdom all the time and every day, and going, man, that changes it from how do I lead a church, how do you lead a church, to... man, how are we led into what God is already doing in all of our churches?
Yep.
How can we join in this shared purpose of the kingdom, of living a life of love, to actually meet the needs of our community, not on our own, but with one another.
An old lecturer of mine, he used to say it like this, that we need all kinds of churches for all kinds of people.
That's
why it's really important that we keep our eyes focused on the kingdom of God, that we don't celebrate one church over the other. And I just want to probably say a word of caution for those who are listening to this. Most of the people listening are probably from either this church or maybe smaller churches. One of the most godly people I have ever met in my life is a leader of a church that has well over 5,000 people going every single week. And this man is humble, he's godly, he's kind, he is not showy in any way. And so there should never, ever, ever be a disconnect or some sense of competition between small and large, or between denominations. There are way too many misunderstandings that have happened throughout history that have damaged the kingdom of God. And we are called by Jesus, we are to be known by our love for one another.
Yeah. And that's not just our love for one another inside our church.
That's right.
It's our love.
That's right.
For every Christian.
That's right. Yep. And so that means we here at Church of the Gabba should be loving the most massive church who does things very differently to us. We should be loving the church down the road who does things very differently to us, because we're part of the kingdom of God who is able to learn from one another. And ultimately, we are here not to be people who protect our own patch of ground. We're here to be people who are on mission together, loving one another, bringing the kingdom of God together.
I'm just going to close with this benediction from Hebrews chapter 13. And then if you could then close us in prayer afterwards. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
Would you pray for us?
Yeah. Lord, as our brother just read, we desire to do your will. We desire to fulfill what you have told us to do in our time here on this earth. We desire that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that that might happen through more and more people coming to know you, but also people understanding more and more of your love and your presence and what that can mean for their lives. Lord, we are so grateful to you for this season in this church, and we thank you for the way that you are at work, and we pray that leading into the future that you might continue to guide and grow this church in their understanding of you. We are here not for ourselves, but we are here for you, who is the King. In Jesus' name, amen.